Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Do you remember a couple weeks ago, probably longer than that now, when Dabo Sweeney had a press conference talking about Ole Miss and their tampering of a player who was already enrolled at Clemson, was taking classes, had an NIL deal signed, and Pete Golding wouldn't take no for an answer. Kept coming, and Dabo laid out the timeline, the text, the conversations with Ole Miss's general manager and how the Clemson general manager and the Ole Miss general manager were people. They knew each other, and the Ole Miss guy was like, hey, this isn't even me. This is Pete Golding. He's not taking no for an answer. Is Pete Golding the guy who called Nick Saban daddy? Daddy, yes. Daddy, daddy's not going to like this?
That's correct.
This is, so this is the Pete Golding that would not say, hey, I know you've got this guy in classes, but we still want him. We're going to pay him. And Dabo said, all right, man, this is tampering 301. I'm going to do the presser. I'm going to lay you out, and I'm going to send all this to the NCAA. Well, the NCAA is like, you know what, Dabo, you got a point. So while they're not apparently punishing Ole Miss, they're going to start taking tampering seriously, according to them. This is the memo. At least a quote from the memo. It is our sincerest hope that these potential policies and rule changes will better serve the new era of Division I while balancing fairness and efficiency to meet membership expectations. The board of directors informed its staff to pursue significant penalties against tampering offenders, along with publicly identifying those found guilty of wrongdoing. So the NCAA is like, I know you think we're dead. I know you think you don't have to listen to us, but we're still around. Now, do we think they really are going to be able to enforce anything? That's up for the debate. They're, at a time, you heard the NCAA was on your campus, you knew you had a problem. Now, you just say, hey, screw you, we're not going to listen to you, and they just go away. We'll see if Dabo and the prevalence of tampering has moved them to a spot where they're actually going to have an enforcement arm and try to hold people accountable. If we remember the they actually are comprised of people from these universities anyway. So we will see how much power they still have left. But they apparently are going to try to take tampering very seriously. And Dabo, as much as we like to make fun of him, still a power broker. Didn't like what was happening and let it be known. And we'll see if this enacts some change. And as always, when it comes to NIL and tampering and the questions about loyalty that players have to the school, the adult men who are living and dying by the talent that these players have, and that's how they keep their jobs, are always a problem. Like
the adult men calling other adult men daddy.
Yeah, daddy. Yeah, exactly. That speaks to kind of the, what's going on in college football when Pete Golding will look at Nick Saban and call him, at least call him daddy when he's talking about him to others. I don't know if he says it to his face, but he says
it's almost worse.
Honestly, it'd be better if Nick Saban forced his staff to call him that. But if Pete Golding is behind the scenes talking to other people, calling Nick Saban daddy, I mean, he had a nice run in the playoff. But good luck, Ole Miss. Good luck as him being the leader of your program.
It's what made the Ole Miss run so shocking.
This is the man calling another grown man daddy. And he's not a character on Righteous Gemstones.
No, and guess what? I wouldn't want any of those guys running a football team.
Baby Bills would be fun, but I don't know if he could run a football
team. Yeah, it'd be a fun six games before he gets suspended.
And they fire him with cause.
Yeah. He definitely Bobby Petrino-like activities. I'll just say that.
Yes. Would he call a recruit that didn't commit to him a toilet baby at any point? Possibly.
Yeah.
Like, if you pick
just
Georgia.
Right down.
If you flop right down in that toilet. If you pick Georgia over Ole Miss after he went hard after you, he'd call you a toilet baby. And that's a problem. You can't call a kid a toilet baby on signing day. That's
no,
a problem.
No.
You can
talk, on the way out.
You can talk about your wife that way, but you can't talk about a player who's a four-star who decided to go someplace
that's
else.
How he would. Dabo treated it one way. Baby Billy would
he would have called that linebacker a toilet baby. He definitely would have. You can't do that as a college coach. It's bad for business. So yeah, you're right. Nobody who features on the Righteous Gemstones should be a college coach, even though Pete Golding sounds like them.
Yeah,
which is a problem for Ole Miss.
Which again, don't love that. But hey, made a good run in the playoff. Got still pretty talented team and got the quarterback back.
Yeah, found a sympathetic judge. Tennessee could not find that judge. A judge like that, and that's why Joey Aguilar.
Yeah, much to Lance's chagrin.
He had to write him up. He was not happy that he had to write up Joey Aguilar. We'll see if he wrote up Chandler Morris, or he'll have to, because Chandler Morris is applying for a seventh year. He's suing the Virginia quarterback who had been around college football
forever.
Is trying to find a seventh year of eligibility by suing.
Yeah,
the NCAA.
He was in the same. High school draft classes, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Also Jalen Suggs. He was one spot ahead of Jalen Suggs, the Orlando Magic shooting guard, point guard. I forgot.
He is 25 years old. He filed a lawsuit in the Charlottesville Circuit Court seeking a preliminary. Well, we'll see if
it's a pathetic judge.
Is it a Virginia judge? And is it but is it the right type? Is it like an Ole Miss judge or the Tennessee guy who had 2 degrees and said no to Joey Aguilar. It all depends. We found that out.
Basically, is a nerd judge or is it?
Yeah, is it a guy who went to Virginia for football?
Because it's a great law school.
Well, they're all nerds at Virginia.
Yeah, they call it the grounds.
Yeah, I don't know that you can find a guy who wound up at law school at Virginia as a guy who went there for football and for sports. You're probably looking at a nerd judge.
So from Andy Staples taking time away from talking about
using Texas as engagement bait?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, less engagement, talking about the Chandler Morris situation. This takes the Trinidad Chambliss route, arguing for a medical redshirt in 2022. He points out that Virginia has two quarterbacks that have Power 5 starting experience, Bo Pribula and Eli Holstein.
I've seen those two play.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said starting experience.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't comment on their quality of starts.
Yeah, that's true. You did not.
And then he adds, meanwhile, Chandler's dad is once again the OC at Clemson, tying it all together to Dabo Swinney. Maybe he has a 25-year-old quarterback next year.
Oh, you don't even think it would be at Virginia. You think it'd be at Clemson. Well, not a bad.
That's what I'm picking up from what
Andy Staples is putting down.
Yeah.
He's 25. I'm not going to begrudge anyone who still wants to.
I'm going to begrudge him a little. But
I mean, I get it, because what is his future? The UFL?
Sure.
So then
put those degrees I'm sure you have, put them to work.
Sure. I'm sure he put in a lot of work while he was trying to find his way to continue to play football.
When you move him around as much as, because Morris went from, he originally.
He was at North Texas at one point, too, but he was at a bigger school.
He was at Oklahoma, to TCU, to North Texas, to Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know how that all comes together for you to
credit hours wise. Yeah,
put together a couple degrees you can use for after football.
Don't know how that works.
Yeah, but if you are Clemson, if you look at their current quarterback, it's Christopher Vezina.
Yeah, that's part of the reason.
Chandler Morris. Yeah,
that's where it's like, hey, listen.
Yeah, Vezina. Yeah, been around quite a bit.
Not you can great. Go 6-6 with Chandler Morris. All right.
True,
but which is sad, but that's kind of where Clemson is now. Where it's who can we go?
Who can go 8-5? I'll give them 8-4. Who can we go 8-4 with? Do they have a big time out of conference game beyond their in state rival this year
or
every
LSU
year?
Again?
South Carolina
was have that a home and home?
Have they played them twice? No, right? They haven't gone to the other Death Valley.
But it yet. Might have been like a stagger thing. Like
it's
Texas
very
did.
It's very possible. So maybe they got LSU on the schedule. So you're going to need. Yeah, they host Clemson. LSU does so. First game of the year? Yeah. So they'd like to have Chandler Morris, an experienced quarterback that actually has been productive. So that's not a bad call. Dabo, who was very vocal in losing a player through the transfer portal, may very well have the ability to go snag a veteran quarterback, something he has been unwilling to do unless your name is Hunter Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. But this one, I mean, his dad's the OC.
Yeah, so it makes some sense.
It if you're going to break the trend,
it
this
would be
is what you would do.
As long as Chandler Morris can win his case in Charlottesville.
Got Miami on the schedule.
Ole Miss? No, that's LSU. I'm still looking at LSU.
Yeah.
But yes, they have LSU.
At LSU.
Oh, Miami.
North Carolina.
What does that mean?
That is that home?
Having North Carolina on the schedule, what does that mean?
It's early. It's early, so you know.
So Bill Belichick's players may still care at that point?
They might not hate the guts of
the university, the school.
Mike Lombardi, yeah.
Probably pissed off that they didn't get to see Ludacris in concert.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ACC schedule. Listen, there's a bunch of teams I could list off that I'm like, these are losable games. Also, this team might also be 4-8. I have no idea.
Yeah, so Clemson with Chandler Morris, who was the ACC runner-up with Virginia, they could go 8-4.
But they're also a way better team last year, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Kate Klubnik didn't exactly perform to the level they thought he would. Maybe Chandler Morris. Chandler Morris was a better quarterback. Chandler Morris was a better quarterback last year than Kate Klubnik. So maybe they get a better performance from a guy who's 25 years old.
Yeah,
and
who played in the title game?
That's what I'm saying. He was a runner-up with Virginia. So you bring him in. You have an experienced quarterback, and sure, LSU, you got to go there. But I mean, Lane Kiffin, cool, but. Am I sure that LSU team, no matter what he adds, is not going to lose to Clemson? No. If you get Chandler Morris, that game probably gets closer to a toss-up than it is with Chris Vezina at quarterback. So I get it. I wouldn't rule out a middling year for Clemson. 8-4, maybe you're still in the ACC race because it is the ACC, the final couple weeks of the year. As long as you have a quarterback, you can at least trust a little bit. But, yeah, they were supposed to be better than they were last year.
Yeah, they do get to play FSU. That helps.
Good luck to Mike Norvell.
It is tough, and it's late for me. Seeing Florida State on a team schedule, and like mentally, I'm still like, okay, that's pretty tough.
Nuh-uh.
Not lately.
Not since 2023, man.
Not lately. And I mean, what are they like? They have to be like 2-something in conference play. I know they beat Cal 2 years ago with Fernando Mendoza. But they have not been good as of late.
No, Mike Norvell's ACC record over the last two seasons is a combined 3-10.
Yeah.
3-10. It remains no Jordan Travis, no success really for Mike Norvell. It's been 4 seasons outside of the Jordan Travis starting years where they went 10-3 and then 13-1. It's been 2-10, 5-7, 5-7, 3-6 in the non-Jordan Travis years for Mike Norvell.
Amazing timing to get the contract extension that he did. Amazing timing. Couldn't have asked for better.
If Jordan Travis hadn't had that debilitating leg injury, don't you think Mike Norvell would have been suing everyone to keep him around for multiple years just to keep going? Mike Norvell would have been heading the lawsuit, not the quarterback.
Yeah, he would be the one. He'd be the attorney.
I don't know. Yeah, what was he up to in college besides playing football? Was he a lawyer?
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't know.
Consider he had cornrows.
In one picture. One picture.
It's one more picture.
One picture.
It's one too many pictures.
It's true. One picture at Central Arkansas with the
imagine
cornrows.
Imagine if I was like, oh, yeah, there's one picture with me with cornrows.
Raheel's got a picture with cornrows when he's in college. It happens to the worst of them. Thought I was going one way, and I went the other. Yeah,
I rest my case.
It's very
me
true.
And Mike Norvell Esquire rest our case.
Well, good luck to the Seminoles and Keith, who is a Seminole fan. Not really. I ain't looking for any. I hope Mike Norvell buries that program and they can't recover. All right, we'll go to break with that. Beyond my bias and hate of FSU, we got other things to discuss when we come back.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Kick 'em.
The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Rockets back at it tonight against the Kings. We got one half of Rocket Power here. Sean hosts that podcast with Joe George. I would imagine tonight should be an easy one. You know, at home against the Kings, they've long stopped caring. They've long since stopped caring. It's not something they care about. Winning games is not what the Kings are looking to do.
No, I don't want to call them elective season-ending surgeries.
Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, Devin Carter, maybe he's back, but who cares? DeAndre Hunter, they just traded for. He's out.
Yeah, Hunter.
All year long, yeah. So this is a game you should win. Amen Thompson won't be playing tonight. He's got a quadriceps injury, but it should not matter. This should be a game where maybe I'm watching the final episode of Snowpiercer by the middle of the third quarter, if that. We will see. So as much angst as there is about this team and what they're actually capable of, that Knicks game is really one that's going to be bothersome. They beat the Jazz by 20. Cool. And now they have the Kings. So a soft part of the schedule, which is actually something people pointed to for this Rockets team after the All-Star break. The schedule is soft as far as who you get to play. Now, rest stuff, that rest advantage stuff, they don't have any days where they don't have any games where they have more rest than the opponent. So that maybe balances some of it out, but I don't think it'll matter tonight. And then they do have to travel to Florida and play the Magic.
Yeah.
The next day.
Second night of this is the first night of back.
So I guess no Tari in DFS in Orlando? Or is that now something?
Do they stagger them now?
No. I don't know. No. We'll see. Why? Then, they haven't done it so far.
Yeah. Then maybe one of them can't. Maybe
Tari can go again?
Yeah. Because he's a little bit further along and it's more.
In his maintenance?
Precautionary. Yeah. Then with DFS, who. He doesn't look like he's, you know, knocking a lot of rust off. He kind of looks how he's looked all season. The first game after the break, I remember thinking like, oh, wow, DFS. And he just hasn't. I mean, he needed a week off to play like that.
Yeah, he's got to recover.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. They do play, like you said, one of the weakest schedules to end the series or to end the season. They have a road trip coming up with the Southeast Division minus Charlotte, which is nice.
Which is nice because LaMelo can't hit one of them on their way to the building.
Yes. But, you know, you get two legit, semi-legit teams.
Yeah, teams who are battling for
teams on the up and up. Yeah. They're playing on the up and up with Orlando, Miami.
Two teams who have hopes of avoiding the play-in. Orlando beat the Lakers last night. I can't find the audio. I found it, but I don't know where
the Lakers announcers?
The Lakers announcers
talking
audio,
Luka. Yeah.
Where it is the most open and honest without actually ripping the star player commentary on a star not doing what they're supposed to. Last night, Orlando won the game thanks to Luka passing up a shot and then LeBron missing badly. Late in the game, Orlando won it by one, but earlier in the game, Luka doing what he does, complaining about a call, doesn't get back. And you hear their announcers going, got to get back, can't be complaining, got to get back. They've got a 5-on-4, and it winds up with an attempt at the rim and a foul. Yeah. And you could hear the exasperation in the voices of the two guys. One was Stu Lance. I don't know who the play-by-play guy is, but they are sick of it, just like most anyone who watches Lakers basketball can point to Luka complaining and it affecting the defensive integrity of the rest of the team. Because when you're playing 5-on-4, someone's got to get out of position and at least the easy buckets. I think Sean has it. Let's hear the exasperation from the Lakers TV team watching Luka not get back on defense.
Luka, little one hand. Again, he's complaining. Got to get back on defense. It's 5-on-4. Underneath, they're going to put it up and in. And one. And the foul. 68-60.
They see it every night. We don't have to deal with it. We don't have to watch Lakers basketball if we don't have to. But, and I imagine they have seen that exact scenario. He doesn't get back, at least an easy bucket. In that case, it was an and one. And, Sean, what was the difference in the game?
Was it?
It wasn't one point.
Yeah.
1 point. Hey, Luka, you'd pass up a potential game winner, and then you're guilty of probably several of those a night.
Also, the passing up on the game winner, he was open.
Yeah.
Like, he... I don't know what
LeBron, when asked about it, said Luka had a quality look.
Yeah.
He did have a quality look. It wound up in a LeBron bad look, and he missed badly. He said Luka had a great look. So for all the conversations about whose team it is, hey, Luka, take the shot.
Yeah, and this is also, you know, it's why I'm not super surprised by the broadcast, angst with this, because their team that when they are a franchise, when they got LeBron, they're like, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah. You know, like that. They will not be overwhelmed by a star.
They're like, that's cool. You're not Kobe.
Yeah.
All right.
The entire city's like, great. You ain't number 8/24. You're not Magic. You're not all the other ones.
Yeah,
you're not
Shaq. The Black Mamba.
Yeah, yeah. So Luka would just be Luka's just another guy for them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, you know, put. He's obviously better than this guy was as a Laker. It's like Dwight Howard. You know, it's like they had prime Dwight Howard at one point.
If you don't perform, we're going to take issue.
Yeah.
And now they traded Anthony Davis. It helps that the Lakers, it's looked at as they got this giant steal. But there's a steal in making that acquisition. But there is something about Laker exceptionalism where the fans just expect, and history will tell you, they should expect to just, a star will be here. How did the Lakers look before LeBron just decided, I want to be here?
Yeah, their rebuild was going now. Those young guys then became like decent NBA players.
And you could trade for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but like they were going nowhere.
Yeah.
And then until LeBron just wanted to be
a Laker. He wanted to live in LA. He's got the movie stuff, all the things his hands are in, and he wanted to be in LA. And hey, they think that way all the time.
Yeah. And then 2 years later, they win the championship.
Yeah, in the bubble. And then, of course, Luka. Now, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to stay in Dallas, but it just fell into their lap. So they have, and I guess rightfully so, the belief that another guy is just going to come along. You're just one of several, Luka. So if you don't perform in the way we like,
and the honeymoon's going to be shorter than with any. I mean, you look at the like Rockets and Rockets fans with KD, like older KD, and even in a disappointing year, they're still, you know, every night people are like, God, thank God they got KD. Like, like man, and like just when he, you know, maybe in before you know the thing that happened
the alleged
two
thing.
Sundays ago,
sure.
It was just like, wow, how sick is it that just Kevin Durant is just on this team? And that's something where, you know, the Rockets get like a decent amount of stars to come here. They're like probably in that like next tier down from LA and Miami.
They generally acquire them through trade.
Trade, yeah.
Like, guys don't just – I mean, Durant made the decision after the Suns put him on the block, and we all know the story.
And like Chris Paul kind of did the same thing.
They kind of picked the team as far as their best options. But they had
Carmelo Anthony.
But Dwight Howard was the big free agent acquisition.
Yeah.
Like they had kind of whiffed. We mentioned LeBron.
LeBron put
it out there that he didn't like 18? The city.
Yeah.
That was the storyline when people were thinking that LeBron might come here. So getting Dwight Howard was a win for them, of course. Didn't wind up to the level that people wanted. But, of course, the trade for James worked out better than anyone could imagine. Generally, over the last 20 years, the Rockets have acquired players through trades as opposed to guys just deciding to come here. And they got the KD, and he's been better than advertised as far as the play on the court. The turnovers late in games ain't great, but, hey, if you had a point guard that could handle some of that stuff, we wouldn't see all that. But, yeah, we will still be okay with KD of course, yeah, got to perform. Far longer than Laker fans will be okay with Luka if things end poorly again in the playoffs
and
this year.
If they trade for Giannis, if they trade for some star.
Yeah, you're not.
Star X, whoever it is.
They acquired Shaq, and now it took a while, but they won 3 titles in a row with him. So that's how it is for them. It's unlike most places in the NBA. Sean, I'm going to test your sensibilities when we come back. On this show, particularly on Fridays at 11:30, your movie tastes are called into question by one Michael Carroll.
Yeah, looked down upon, I would say.
Yeah, I would say you're not looked at positively when it comes to your music, or excuse me, your movies and television thoughts. I'm going to just describe a trailer I just saw, kind of give you the nuts and bolts, and then throw in little extras to see if it changes your opinion, because I won't say I can't believe this movie was made, because anything can get made. I'm just surprised anyone wanted to. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
My Twitter algorithm has some tried and true things, and then other things are determined by what I type into the search. I love a movie. I watch stuff on Prime. Hell, I even mentioned Snowpiercer, which is on Prime, so maybe the algorithm was simply listening. That's the first bullet point. This movie is going directly to Prime. How does that strike you, Sean? A movie directly to Prime.
I'm open.
I'm open to it.
There, you know, it does come with like a certain, you know, expectation of quality.
Sure.
That the high end probably isn't there. But I'm still, you know, I like Heads of State. I liked was Without Remorse also straight to Prime. Yeah, so, you know, they've had some hits.
Sure. What if I tell you Uma Thurman is in it playing a domineering authority figure?
Okay.
What if I throw in that the original title of the movie was Ballerina Overdrive?
Okay.
It is now Pretty Lethal. That is the better name. Better name of the movie. As you can guess by the original title, it is about ballerinas, a bus full of ballerinas traveling in a foreign country. Their bus breaks down. Of course, why wouldn't
that happens.
Why
that
wouldn't
happens.
It?
Yeah.
And you know the only place that they could wind up in? A lethal hotel.
Now,
where are you now?
When you say lethal hotel,
they should be in fear of their lives now that they're in the hotel.
Okay, so it's just like
it's not a killer hotel.
It's just like a bad spot.
Yeah, the hotel doesn't kill you, but people in the hotel.
Okay.
Now, a lot of this sounds like, when you throw in the ballerina aspect of it, is this in the John Wick universe?
It does. It sounds, I'd say, iterative.
It is not, but maybe the movie Ballerina led to this thing getting greenlit.
Yeah, or, you know, parallel thinking.
Possibly, yeah. No idea is new. Everyone has the same ideas. It just depends on when they come across it. That's part of it. So you're still in?
Yeah, I'm still interested.
What if I tell you one of the stars is the daughter from what's the name of the series? You Got to Be Silent or Monsters Kill You. John Krasinski, Emily.
Oh, Quiet Place.
The daughter from The Quiet Place is in it.
No
take
change.
It or leave it, right?
No change.
The star of The Boys I Loved Before. Not Noah Centineo, the Lana Condor.
I know who she is, but no change, really. Didn't see that.
This is the one that may get me.
Okay.
It is from the producers of Atomic Blonde and Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
There it is.
There we go.
There it is.
Two.
There it is. That's what
transportation-based lethal women. That's how you get those two movies together. Yeah.
So it plays on the fact that being a ballerina is hell. So their experience
being ballerinas
has built them to adapt to a situation where they're just ballerinas. But hey, all these people trying to hurt us, ain't nothing worse than a ballerina teacher and being a ballerina, so we can handle it. That's kind of the premise.
Okay.
Mark something. You know what? I was like, whatever. And then you give me the Atomic Blonde. You give me Bullet Train. You got me.
Do we know, or can you describe from the trailer what, where in the world does this?
It's some Eastern European country.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, there it is.
that's the only other thing
you're
going to
hear accents that are probably not correct to the actual place. Because people who aren't from that area are doing the accents.
Yeah, they're all English or whatever trying to do it. Yeah,
Uma Thurman's there.
Yeah, if one of the bad guys' name Sergey or Andrea or something, I'm in.
Let's see. There's a Yuri.
That's also on the board. Okay.
There's a Saber.
God, they're in the lab with these names.
This is what I'm Vlad.
There we go.
Osip.
Yeah, got to get a layup in there like Vlad.
We got it. I thought so. Once I got to who was behind it, I thought it would get you.
Yeah, no. I mean, if they're Albanian, that's a plus.
Yeah, it's going to have
Taken.
It's going to have a lot of the stars, the ballerinas are going to be
familiar faces
in movies that, okay, that's a Netflix thing or that's a Hulu thing, stuff like that.
They're streaming faces Uma Thurman.
They're streaming faces plus the young lady from A Quiet Place.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. And Uma Thurman, and although star of, what was the Charlize Theron Old Guard 2?
Oh, yeah.
She was in Old Guard 2.
She was in that, too. So this is her bag, too. So I thought, yeah, this might get Sean. March 25th or whatever.
Yeah. And the key to this, and this is what Prime does well, they make these movies that you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'm like a slight positive on. And they're like, and you only have to get up off your couch to watch it. It's like, boom, you got me. Paying $15 to watch this? Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not driving to the theater for
it. Yeah, maybe not.
But I'm not getting people together that are going to watch it. But at home on a Friday afternoon when it premieres?
Sure, why not?
I'm in. So Pretty Lethal. I think at some
great
point,
name.
We're going to force, well, not even force. Michael will love to watch this movie. But if he doesn't, he is going to review it on this show.
Or
this show
we will review it at him.
Yes. If he doesn't watch it, we will certainly talk about it in a way where he has to at least be somewhat engaged.
I hope it's like the same day as like Project Hail Mary or something. We're just like, before we get to that.
Yeah. Slow down, Mike.
Pretty Lethal.
I know you've got a review. Your letterbox thing is up, sure. But we're going to talk about Lana Condor and Maddie Ziegler along with Uma Thurman.
Next generation of action stars.
This is what we're saying. We look at these young ladies and go, they're next up. We've had Linda Hamilton way back when. We've had, you mentioned Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale, one of the surprising action stars of our time.
Mila Jovovich.
Well, of course, when your husband can direct so many Resident Evils, sure. Now we got these young ladies. Of course, Uma Thurman is herself.
Yeah.
We're going to move on because Milo, I don't know if it's that Milo. He may sound like that Milo. He wants to talk Astros. We'll close out the show with some Astro talk. What's up, Milo?
Hello, Jal.
It is that Milo. What's up, Milo?
It looks like the Astros are going to sit on their hands this year, for Christ's sake.
What would you like them to do?
Nothing.
Milo, you are
make a move. Milo, get out there and get aggressive.
Milo, you are a noted baseball expert. Been watching the game for a very long time, even after death. So it's a credit to you that you're still locked in. What do you think the Astros should do? What would be your move if you're Dana Brown?
First thing I would do if I was Dana Brown is go see my man down at Chuck's Suits. Whoa, what a fine suit and tie. The next thing I would do is take a look at my scouting department and have them go and line up like little kids in the toilet and look each other in the mirror and say, what are we going to do? And then you run upstairs to Jimmy Crane's office and you knock real softly and you say, hey, Jimmy, we're not going to sit on our hands again, are we, pal? Come on.
People have an issue with Dana Brown. He has been looking to help this roster through a left-handed bat. We were promised a big-time pitcher. I guess that's Tatsuya Imai. But this roster feels lacking. There's not a lot of depth there. And the pitching rotation is in question. You have to hope Mike Burrows is good. and you're betting on unproven commodities. It's not what we've known for the Astros. We always felt pretty good going into a year. I think the expectations at this point are lower than they have been in the past, Milo. Maybe since you were in the booth.
You know, that might be true, but they won all the stuff after me. 17 and 22, proof up in the rafters, right above that godforsaken train. Is that the AC train now?
The Daikin train, I believe, yes. I don't know if Mr. Smoky Pants is still the guy. But yes, I think we have. Do we have AC units? What is it, Sean? What's in the actual train now?
I believe they're giant baseballs.
Oh, it's baseballs. Okay.
I don't want to say they just repainted the oranges, but
you could say it.
It looked as if they repainted baseballs. Yes, giant baseballs.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, on theme.
We do
a little disappointed. I wish we could do a little something at first base. Christian Walker, unacceptable. Third base, not good.
You got Correa at
third. Rely on Okay, you're done.
Milo, you don't like Correa?
Correa, no bueno.
Okay, that's my answer.
No bueno, too old.
Too old?
Altuve, old, worn out.
Like an old glove.
Seems we need to go visit the old tire shop, boys.
Correa's 31 years old. I mean, older, but not too old to play third. That's why he's at third. He's too old. He doesn't have the ability he had at shortstop. So, Correa, Peña, Altuve, and Walker. You'd like to replace three out of the four infielders.
Yes, indeed, Daddy. You said it.
That's tough.
Unfortunately, no one's unloading. So, we're going to sit here and win 85 games and drink a lot of cold beer. 82 home games.
Is that how the math works? 82?
81 and a half, if you're counting.
Okay. I don't know if it's a half either. Either way, Milo, you're right.
You know, I always say, Deli, you split the season up into thirds.
I've heard that from
you're
you.
You're definitely going to lose a third, and you're going to win a third. But what determines a true winner is what you do with that third. It's called the 33rd turd rule.
Mm. I had not heard it put that way before. That's new from you, Milo, at least for me. So you think 85 wins. Do you think Joe Espada and Dana Brown, they don't have contracts beyond this year. Do you think either one of them survives after 2026?
Certainly going to survive with 85. There's going to be plenty of folks filling up that stadium this year, Deli. They're going to be selling out games. Most people don't care. They just go out there and, you know, you better be prepared to open up your wallet. Oh, whoa, whoa.
You're very critical. This is
1985.
Milo, you're very critical of the team and how they're run. You weren't this critical when you were in the booth, were you?
No. You got to, you know, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, I get that.
If you do that, they'll cut it off there, and then you'll be out on the streets just doing the old captain's chair.
Milo, I think I'd like you to be our correspondent when you have the time during the season. I don't want you to promise that, but when you have the time, can you be this show's baseball correspondent this year?
On field, I'll be there on the sideline or, you know, somewhere you can count on me. I'll call in. I'll make sure to drop by more often, Dell. How about that?
Look at that. I give him a spot on the show, and now he calls me by my actual name. Look at that. Look how things have changed. Thanks, Milo.
Oh, Deli.
There it is. I think he just forgot. I think he forgot what he was doing. Milo on a mobile here. Thank you, Milo. Hope to hear more from you as we get closer and closer to Astros baseball. What a guy.
What a treat.
Yeah.
What a treat, and now we have a baseball correspondent.
Yeah, whatever. Less me talking about baseball, the better.
Yeah. I don't mean for Milo to get me down, but probably need more of the fun stuff.
Yeah, Milo.
Probably have to lean into more of the nonsense because
I don't want to break down three at bats for Zach Cole. A show. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and now we're going into like year three of like, yeah, this is like a perfectly fine team that doesn't have a ton of upside. Yeah,
they're not even bad enough to be fun.
No, it's just kind of like They're going
to be
decent.
They're just going to be good enough for us to have to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Filling up the ballpark.
You heard him. Well, Milo knows.
He knows. He knows what time it is.
Good enough for people to want to be there. Will they be good enough for it to matter in October? Feels unlikely at this point, but we'll see. Milo Hamilton, our official correspondent for this show. Hope to hear more from him throughout the season. All right, we're done for the day. That is what that music means. Since we're done, Sean, what's it going to be today?
We chase the fight.
Even that is depressing. Before we go, I do want to mention this. Remember, it is not Houston Restaurant Week, but it is Eat Drink HTX time, and it is back for its fifth year. It is ongoing through the 28th. You can enjoy great food just like Houston Restaurant Week, and a portion of each meal is donated to the Houston Food Bank. Restaurants participating have brunch or lunch for just $25 and dinner for, just $15 and dinner for $25. Find all the participating restaurants and their menus at eatdrinkhtx.com. That's eatdrinkhtx.com. Rich Eisen's up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.